My name is Wei from Young Entrepreneurs Association. Tun, perhaps you may have missed out the Look East policy during your era. And could you comment on that?
I don't suppose I can cover the whole areas involved in positioning Malaysia, but certainly I should have touched on the Look East policy, because this is a very important move away from tradition, away from the orthodox thinking at that time, because all developing countries look to the West for guidance, inspiration. But we studied the history of nations. The Europeans have developed over the past 200 years, and therefore they have forgotten. There's not a living soul who would remember what happened 200 years ago when they were struggling to become industrialized. All they know is what is happening now. And if you go to them and ask them, how do you do these things? They say, well, this is the way we do it. Yes, but they are doing it now, the result of 200 years past. But in the East, we find countries which are newly industrializing. And we think that they still remember their difficulties, and they have found a way to overcome their difficulties. And if we want to industrialize, it is better to look at these Eastern countries than to look at the Western countries. We're not forgetting the West completely, but we feel that Japan, South Korea, Taiwan would provide us with lessons and solutions to the problem of industrializing Malaysia. That is why we decided upon the Look East policy.
Morning, Tun. My name is Andrew Abhishegan from the Victoria Institution, All Boys Association. You mentioned that during your tenure as Prime Minister, you were slightly critical of the West. What made you so confident and unafraid that trade would not be affected?
We were critical, of course, sometimes very critical of the West. And yet, of course, our trade with the West is very considerable. In fact, our trade with the U.S. makes up 20% of our total trade. And therefore, there is a danger that we may lose that trade. But there are certain factors which influence our trade, which is not linked to U.S. government's policy. We find that American businessmen do not always agree with their government. Some of them are very much against their government. So they're not going to allow their government's the criticisms of their government to influence their thinking. Besides, many of the things that we export to the US are produced by American companies in Malaysia. If you punish Malaysia, you are going to punish American companies. So because of that, there is limited scope for the US to take action against Malaysia. So it has not hurt us that much being critical to a certain extent depending on trade with them.
Yang berbahagia Tun, my name is Rohanas. I'm from the Department of International and Strategic Studies, University of Malaya. My question is about OIC. Do you think that OIC is still of any use to Muslim countries and especially to Malaysia?
Of course, people say OIC is OIC. And that's all there is about it. This group of countries made up of some who are dependent upon the US and some who are neutral, some who just wants to enjoy life, and a very, very few who are really concerned about the fate of the Muslim countries. Very, very few. And these very few are totally incapable of doing anything. Those who are capable of doing something will not do it because it is not in their interest and they are beholden to the United States. Today, the price of oil is about $76, I think. That means that each barrel of oil would earn these countries something like 50, at least $50 each barrel of oil. Now, if you produce 10 million barrels a day, and each barrel gives you $50 profit, that means you are making every day $500 million. I think that's quite a big sum. In Malaysian ringgit, it will be roughly about 1,800,000,800 million ringgit. One day. There are 365 days in a year. Just try and work out how much money these countries have. And yet they say that, we shouldn't do anything because our people will suffer if we cannot sell the oil. Well, I think if you have that kind of money, you can save the money, invest the money, do something with the money. Even if you don't get any more revenue from oil, you still can survive for quite a long time. But the fact is that they are not willing to do anything. And many of these countries hold their reserves in American dollars. Anything happens to America, they are going to lose the money. And therefore, they are not willing to do anything. Because you are accepting the American dollar, it has a value. Anything that people want has a value. Now, supposing we reject the American dollar by saying that, well, if you want to buy our oil, you must pay in euro, or you pay in yen, or you pay us in gold, but not American dollar. Immediately, America will be very poor. The OIC can do this. But I once talked to an OIC leader, head of government. I told him that why not stop using the US dollar? Somehow or other, he misunderstood me. He thought I was asking for money. He said, well, the Islamic Development Bank has got a lot of money. You can borrow from it. He thought I was going to ask him for money for Malaysia. Unfortunately, either my English is bad or his English is bad. I don't know. But that's why I say the OIC is a very powerful organization led by midgets.
My name is Bill Ching Po of Malaysia Pacific Corporation. Tun, you were truly instrumental in establishing the real friendship and relationship with China from 1985. You were daring enough to recognize China and befriend with China. What was your internal thoughts then?
Well, it is true that Malaysia is very well regarded by China, by Chinese leaders, and even by Chinese people. They know Malaysia well. And they think that Malaysia is the one country which supports China. And this is indeed a very strange thing, considering that initially we were very much against the Chinese, we were against communists, and we were aligned with the Western Bloc. Now, the reason why we decided that we should be friendly with China is because we see a trend that China, after Deng Xiaoping, has changed. They may not become westernized, but they have changed their attitude and approach to things. I think we should be friendly with China. That is why we changed tack and decided that we should be friendly with China. And there is one thing that we have to realize, that once China gets going, there is really no stopping it. It is going to be the greatest factory in the world. It's going to produce everything. We know the Chinese in Malaysia, they are very diligent, very skillful, very intelligent, very hardworking. Now multiply Malaysia's Chinese by 1.3 billion in China, and you have some idea of what China is going to be like in the future. I think we should be friendly with them instead of... That's what motivated us.